Lesson 5. Outcomes. Describe procedures for safely using PPE. PPE use. There is much more to the use of PPE ensembles than just putting on the ensemble. While it is imperative that you be proficient in donning the equipment, you must also be able to safely function in the suit while performing both simple and challenging tasks. As familiarity increases, so will the comfort levels. Increased comfort levels will help reduce your stress. This reduced stress can help increase both your proficiency and work time. Pre-entry inspection. Check equipment before you enter into a hazardous atmosphere, figure 26.29. A thorough visual inspection should uncover any defects or deformities in the protective equipment. In addition to the visual inspection, confirm all pressure test completion dates, and conduct an operational check of the following items. Breathing apparatus. All zippers and closures. Valves. Communications equipment. Any equipment that will be taken or used in the hot zone. Safety and emergency procedures. In addition to issues such as cooling, preventing dehydration, and medical monitoring, there are other safety and emergency issues involved with wearing PPE. Examples include: responders using PPE at hazmat incidents must be familiar with their local procedures for going through the technical decontamination process. Anytime emergency responders are to enter an IDLH atmosphere, they should always work in teams of two or more, buddy system, with a minimum of two equally trained and equipped personnel outside the IDLH atmosphere ready to rescue other emergency responders should the need arise, backup personnel. Responders should operate within their accountability systems, and know their evacuation and escape procedures. Safety briefing. A safety briefing will be conducted before responders enter the hot zone. The safety briefing will cover relevant information including incident status, based on the preliminary evaluation and subsequent updates. Identified hazards. Description of the site. Tasks to be performed. Expected duration of the tasks. Escape route or area of refuge. PPE and health monitoring requirements. Incident monitoring requirements. Notification of identified risks. Communication procedures, including hand signals. Note, after using PPE at an incident, fill out any associated reports or documentation as required by the AHJ. Air management. Anytime a limited air supply such as SCBA is worn, air management is an important consideration. Emergency procedures should be developed for responder loss of air supply. These procedures may vary depending on the AHJ. To ensure adequate work time, calculate estimated times for the following tasks. Walk to the incident. Return from the incident. Decon. Work time. Safety time, extra time allocated for emergency use. Air must be allocated for these estimated times. Responders should have a plan in place for dealing with air emergencies. Many organizations have SOPs that explain calculations for doing this and/or designate maximum entry times, such as 20 minutes, based on the air supply available. It may be necessary to stock SCBA cylinders of different sizes and volumes in an agency's cache of equipment, table 26.4. Note, a cylinder's service pressure and rating are not a true indication of the overall work time. The one constant is the amount of air the cylinder will contain when it is full. Contamination avoidance. The terms contamination and exposure are sometimes used interchangeably, but the concepts are actually very different. Contamination can be defined as a condition of impurity resulting from contact or mixture with a foreign substance. In other words, the hazardous material has to touch or be touched by another object. In contrast, exposure means that a hazardous material has entered or potentially entered your body via the routes of entry, for example, by swallowing, breathing, or contacting skin or mucous membranes. Most hazmat responses will likely include contamination, which can increase the risk of exposure. Because of this, avoid contamination as best as possible. As a responder, you should consider the following best practices. Always try to reduce any contact with the product. Avoid walking through and touching the product whenever possible. Do not kneel or sit on the ground in CPC, if possible. Contact avoidance is paramount, but allowing a suit to come in contact with the ground may cause chafing or abrasion on the suit, allowing for faster suit degradation. Protect monitoring instruments as best as possible. Note, if avoidance is not possible and you need to protect the suit from damage, put something between your suit and the ground/contamination. Options include thick cardboard, rug, visqueen, absorbent pillows, pigs, booms, socks, and pads, knee pads. Communications. Communication capabilities are required for all levels of personal protection. Communication devices may be integrated into PPE. Other non-emergency communication methods can include pre-designated hand signals, motions, and gestures. Signals for entry team emergencies such as loss of air supply, medical emergency, or suit failure should also be designated. If possible, entry teams, backup personnel, and appropriate safety personnel at the scene should have their own designated radio channel. Should responders lose radio communications or operate in an atmosphere not allowing radio communications, a backup system must be part of the operational plan. Hand signals used as the backup plan should be simple, easy to remember, and distinguishable from a distance. Hand signals should be designated for the following situations, Table 26.5. Loss of air supply. Loss of suit integrity. Responder down from injury or illness. Emergency, waving hands above head. Loss of radio communications. I am okay, or situation okay, tap on head with one hand or thumbs up. Typically, these protocols will involve notifying the appropriate personnel, such as the entry team leader and or hazmat safety officer, and exiting the hot zone as quickly as possible. The remaining capabilities of equipment should also be communicated during evacuation situations. For example, if air supply is lost while wearing a vapor protective suit, there is a limited amount of air in the suit itself that can be breathed if the SCBA facepiece or regulator is removed. In addition to entry team signals, include an emergency evacuation signal for all responders in the incident action plan. The emergency signal should indicate that an immediate exit from the hot zone is necessary. The signal should be audible, air horns, and also broadcast over the radio frequency. Note, follow hand signals specified by AHJ. All responders should follow local protocols for evacuation situations. Donning and doffing of PPE. You should always train with the protective clothing that you will be using in the field. The donning process can be quite time-consuming and confusing for a user who is not totally familiar with the garments. Instructions should be included with all PPE for the total donning and doffing process. Skill Sheets 26-2 through 26-4 provide steps for donning, working in, and doffing hazardous materials PPE. Donning of PPE. While it is imperative that you follow the manufacturer and department recommendations for the donning of PPE, the following guidelines will outline generic donning procedures that may be included in an agency's procedures. Pre-select the donning and doffing area in the cold zone as close to the entry point as possible. It should be clearly delineated. Ensure that the donning and doffing area is isolated from distractions and sheltered from the elements, if possible. Select an area that is large enough to accommodate all personnel involved in the donning and doffing procedures. Plan for as many people, including assistants, as needed to be involved in the donning procedures, Figure 26.30. Before starting the donning process, each entry and backup team member should be medically evaluated based on AHJ procedures. Continue hydration per AHJ procedures. Conduct a mission briefing before the donning process to ensure that all members are attentive and there are no distractions. The mission briefing should include the specifics of the mission, such as IAP and site safety plan. Deploy chemical protective clothing in an organized manner. Check all equipment visually and operationally prior to donning to ensure proper working order. Ensure that the entry team members have removed all their personal effects such as rings, wallets, badges, watches, and pins. Don appropriate undergarments at this time, if applicable. Seat the entry team so that their breathing apparatus is accommodated, Figure 26.31. The physical activity of the donning process should be conducted by assistants to allow the entry and backup personnel the opportunity to rest and reduce stress levels. Once the donning process has begun, the donning supervisor should prepare both the entry team and the backup team at the same rate. The teams should remain ready and off air until the entry order has been given. Once the entry order has been given, lead the entry teams to the entry access point. The safety officer should perform a final check of all equipment and closures before the teams are allowed to enter the hazard area. The backup team should be left off air and in a resting position until such a time that it may be called into service. Based on the hazards and chemicals involved, the backup team may be put on air and placed within the hot zone to reduce the travel time should the entry team need assistance with a rapid exit. Doffing of PPE. Many times, the donning supervisor may also serve as the doffing supervisor. This will be very helpful based on the person's knowledge of the members and equipment that were utilized for the entry. Upon exit, it can be assumed that the entry team has either been contaminated or potentially contaminated by the hazard, thus needing decontamination prior to doffing. Based on the chemical hazards, it may be necessary to have the doffing personnel wear a lower-level CPC. Any level of protection needed for doffing activities will be decided upon by the safety officer. The personnel assisting in the doffing procedures should watch for signs and symptoms of heat stress. The entry personnel who will be doffing their protective equipment will most likely be hot, tired, and eager to remove the clothing. All doffing procedures should follow the manufacturer's directions, but these generic procedures may be included in any department's policies and guidelines. Personnel who are doffing equipment should allow the assisting personnel to perform the work. Entry team members should only touch the inside of the garments and never the outside. Likewise, assisting personnel should only touch the outside of the garments. It is critical that cross-contamination be avoided. Once the garments are removed, zip or store them so that the inside and outside surfaces cannot touch. All entry garments should be placed in a containment bag and appropriately marked. The last item removed from the entry personnel should be the respirator facepiece. It should be removed by the user. The breathing apparatus should be isolated and marked for appropriate decontamination. All entry team and support team members must report immediately to rehab.